Welcome to Your Career Doctors on Grapevine Radio. I'm Barbara Jackson, your host.
And I'm Lee Miller.
And we're your career doctors. Career Doctors is all about taking control of your career.
It's about providing you with the information, contacts, skills, and tools you need, both on the show and on our website, yourcareerdoctors.com.
It's also about providing access to experts, ourselves and our partners at Ready Minds in Macau. And today we're going to introduce the first winner of our Career Seeker Contest, Julia.
Hi, how are you today?
How are you, Julia? Welcome and congratulations.
Thank you very much.
So why did you apply to be the Job Seeker 2006?
I wanted to inspire people. I had actually at one point wanted to write a book kind of about my experience trying to find a job and just feeling very lost and not knowing what I wanted to do and where I wanted to go. And also, you know, just because I really wanted advice on how to proceed in getting a job. So,
well, that's great. You're going to get to write a little bit for our listeners on our blog. So that's a good start for your book. So, Julia, tell us a little bit about your background.
Okay. Well, I just graduated this past May from the University of New Hampshire with a double major in English and Studio Art, and I minored in philosophy. I'm really passionate about the arts and about English, and actually when I chose my majors, I just majored in them because they were things that I was interested in. I never really looked ahead to see what I would be doing with them in the future, and I actually had intended on going more toward the business side of things when I graduated. Right when I graduated, I took real estate classes, and I was thinking that I would become a real estate agent. And after talking to several people in the business, I realized that it just wasn't going to be right for me at this time. I'm very young looking, and I've never bought a home on my own, so it didn't seem like it would be a good choice for me.
So you decided not to become a real estate broker?
No, not at this time. Maybe if I had a husband and some stability in terms of income, then maybe it would be something I would pursue. But it's just, you know, not something I can do while I'm trying to, you know, be released from my parents and, you know, get out on my own.
Okay. You currently live with your parents?
I do.
Okay. And you're looking to get out and start your career, right?
Yeah, definitely.
And one of the things that I enjoyed when I met Julia was that she was very realistic about what it would take for her to achieve the lifestyle that she wanted. I mean, I'm not suggesting that Julia laid out this lavish lifestyle of Paris Hilton, but I think one of the things that we all have to be realistic about, particularly in our first couple jobs, is, yes, we need experience, but we also need to be able to buy groceries. I mean, the grocery
right.
factor is huge, and Julia was pretty realistic about that and actually perhaps reassessed her goals a little bit.
And I'm sure your parents want you out of the basement, right?
No, I actually have, you know, a room with a window, but
but you'd like one on your own.
Yeah, definitely.
All right, let's go through a little bit about, for our listeners and for any potential employers out there, your employment background. What jobs have you held while you're in school?
While I was in school, I mostly did catering, just because they could work with my schedule pretty easily. And I also, this wasn't a paid job, but I was part of an organization that put on concerts, so I have some event planning in my background.
Terrific.
Yeah.
Were you able to make some profit in those concerts?
It wasn't actually for profit. It was more of an organization that helped out the students. We brought concerts that were affordable to students, so it was kind of just a service to them.
Terrific. What other work experience do you have?
Well, most recently, after I graduated and decided that real estate wasn't going to be for me, I worked at a law firm for 5 months, and I was thinking about going to law school, but I just, you know, I really missed the art and the English that I had studied, and I just wanted to do something more creative. So I decided that was the route that I'm not taking at this time.
Okay. And speaking of creative, you've actually had some of your photographs exhibited, right?
Yeah, actually, there was an exhibit at the Photographic Resource Center in Boston, and most recently I've had some photographs published in a local newspaper, which has been really exciting.
Good. Now, you said that you didn't like working in the law firm. What about the law firm didn't you like?
Well, it was partly the project that I was working on. I was basically doing the exact same thing every single day, and it was kind of burning me out. It really wasn't, you know, after the initial learning process, I wasn't learning anything new, and I always need to be going out and learning something new and feeling like I'm growing. So,
What is it that you liked about that job? Was there anything?
I really liked the people I worked with. It was a great group of people. You know, it was a casual atmosphere for a law firm, and everyone was really supportive. You know, even all the higher-ups, everyone was so nice and welcoming.
So, Julia, I have to ask a question, and please don't be embarrassed to give the answer that I think you might be giving.
Okay.
What caused you to apply for that job in the first place?
You know, it actually, my brother was going to take the job, but he ended up going out to California for the summer, and it paid well, and I just,
right.
You know.
It was a job, right? It was
right.
Any job.
Yeah,
right.
And a lot of times the jobs that we get are by accident. Sometimes they work out, sometimes
right.
They don't.
Right.
And I think a lot of us, particularly for our first job, just take the first job that we're offered because the grocery factor and because it's so exciting
right.
To have somebody tell you they want you to be their employee.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so after you left the law firm, what did you do then?
Okay, well, I decided that I just, you know, I needed a break, so I worked at Banana Republic for a month and
folding those clothes, huh?
Oh, yeah, I folded a million sweaters. I guess 2 weeks into that job, I actually got myself in contact with a PR firm because that was something that I thought I might be interested in. So I had a contact there, and I started working for them, but it's an internship, so I don't really get paid for it unless I'm doing something like grunt work, answering phones.
Mm-hmm.
And so... So far, it's been a great experience, and I love it there, but I need, you know, the grocery factor, as you were saying.
Good. Well, tell me, what do you do in your current job that you like?
Well, I get to do a lot of writing, as I was saying, and it's kind of more in a journalistic way than I've been used to because I didn't really study journalism specifically, so that's interesting, and it's new for me. And I just get to do a bunch of different things. I kind of work under three people separately, so I'm given different assignments daily, and I, you know, have to balance everything as to, you know, what takes priority, what needs to be done immediately. So it's just more exciting for me.
And you like the writing.
You
like the fact that it's different, or every day it's different?
Yeah, no, I love that. I need that, so...
You've also, I gather, done some freelance writing while you've been in the PR firm?
I'm actually working at a local newspaper doing some freelance work for them. As I said, I had some photographs published, but I also had one article, and I'm working on a couple other pieces right now.
So you've actually had both articles and photographs published in the newspaper, huh?
Yeah, this was just recently. I actually just saw the newspaper for the first time yesterday, so it was exciting to see.
Didn't you also write some restaurant reviews as a freelancer?
Oh, yeah, I actually did that in college. I went through a phase where I thought that food was, you know, the way to go for me, but part of me thought that it might be really, really competitive and it would be hard to hold myself, you know, just in doing food writing for now, so... That might be something I'll go back to in the future, but for now...
That must be a great job. You get to eat all this great food and then tell them either thumbs up or thumbs down, right?
Yeah, no, it was great aside from the fact that I had to pay for most of it myself, so it was actually becoming a financial burden.
Yeah, we need to get you a job where you actually make money as opposed to lose money.
Right, exactly.
That's one of your requirements, I would imagine, right?
Definitely.
And particularly because Julia's in Providence, where they have great restaurants.
Mm-hmm. So what other skills do you have that you haven't mentioned? Any specific skills, computer skills?
I guess I'm becoming more familiar with computers now, and I have recently gained the confidence to just kind of figure things out on my own, whereas before I would say, I can't do this, the computer won't do this. Now I can kind of figure out how to get it to do anything I want.
You do editing of your photography online, Photoshop, that sort of thing?
I actually haven't started doing that yet. I need to get some kind of a program onto my computer so I can experiment with that, because that would be really cool and different for me.
Okay. Now, are you willing to relocate?
I'm not really excited about it. It's something I might consider, but I really, really like where I am, Rhode Island. I'd really like to move to Newport. I know that I'll miss the beaches, just the views, if I go anywhere else. And I don't know that city life is for me right now. I'm, single, and so I would like to be able to go out, but I don't want to put myself in a position where I have to go out by myself, alone in the dark. It seems kind of scary to me. So.
Well, we can't do anything about the fact that you're single, but we'll work with you to see if we can't get you in a career. You'll have to take care of the rest yourself.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Okay. So we'll keep you pretty much focused on the Rhode Island area then.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay, good. So what do you think in terms of your interests? What kinds of jobs might you be interested in?
As I said, the photography and the writing has been great. I like that I've been able to do both the PR and the journalism together because I can plan things around each other. I just don't want something that's going to be the same 9-to-5 schedule every day. That's actually a really high priority for me, I'd say.
Great. So why don't we have Barbara go over what we're going to do to help you and give you your next specific assignment.
Okay, that sounds great.
Well, first of all, Jennifer, we really do want to congratulate you because there's not too many people who are willing to have their life put online like this. So you're a real trailblazer, and I know you like that.
Yeah.
But we appreciate your volunteering for this and applying to be our job seeker. We also want to tell the other candidates who applied that we're saving all of their resumes and we'll use them the next time. And if they want to update them, they're certainly free to do that. Mm-hmm. And I want to say a little bit about why we chose you. We think that you're a really great candidate to be a job seeker because you are reflective of so many other people in our audience. Mm-hmm. You're not 100% certain about what you want to do, and that certainly applies to most of us. Your ability to relocate or your desire to relocate is not high on the list, and so we have to find you a job within a bounded geographic area, and I think that also applies to most of our listeners. You have a wide variety of interests and a wide variety of skills, and so there certainly is a lot to work with there. We just have to figure out which of those is most important to you and how that translates into a job that pays those grocery bills. You have some real-world experience, and that's always better than none, and you're also very creative about using the things that you like to do and creating experience around them. You're very entrepreneurial in that way, and you're certainly highly motivated to get a job and get more than one window in your life. So we're really just delighted that you're willing to work with us and be our job seeker. And your first assignment is going to be to go onto the website, and we'll help you do this, and just post a blog about, sort of what are your expectations in looking for a job. And we're also, for our listeners, going to put Julia's resume up there, and you're going to see two versions of it. You're going to see the version that she handed me when I first met with her, and then you're going to see a reworked version. It may not have a whole lot of changes, but it might have some, so that for our listening audience, there'll be a sense of what's appropriate for someone to include in their resume, what might be some better action words to include.
And a better way to kind of really make it hit home and get the attention of the employers.
Particularly for someone like Julia and like many of our listeners who have a lot of knowledge and a lot of different experiences but don't have a long track record in a career experience. And so you'll see how to compose a resume that gets you a job, at least gets you an interview, in the most efficient way possible. Mm-hmm. And so Lee Jennifer is going to tell you about a couple of the things that are available in our Career Seeker package that we're going to ask you to participate in the next 30 days.
And we're going to have you start with taking a skills and interest assessment, which we'll set up with you. We will work with you on the resume. That's critical for you to do once you kind of focus in on where you might be interested. And then you can write a blog about your experiences before we get you set to go for your first interview, hopefully.
Okay,
and like I said, we'll ask you to share with our listeners what your expectations are, and then we'll, in terms of what it takes to get a job, and we'll compare that at the end with what it really required. So mm-hmm. It'll be a good before and after. So, Julia, I just want to thank you for your time today, and I know our listeners are really pulling for you, and if any of our mm-hmm. listeners have any great ideas or know employers that might be looking for someone like Julia, this is a group search, so write to us at yourcareerdoctors.com, and we're going to be back in a few minutes, but first we have to take a break.
Thank you so much for having me.
Too many women lack access to political power, economic resources, and a voice in decisions affecting their lives. For 34 years, the Ms. Foundation for Women has been working to strengthen women's economic and political power, especially the power of low-income women and women of color. The Ms. Foundation for Women is the women's foundation engaged nationally to build women's power to drive social change. Through grant-making and practical training, we are working to create a true democracy of equity and inclusion, a democracy in which every woman and girl is valued and every voice is heard. A democracy in which women at the margins of our society have a seat at every decision-making table and work alongside men in every sphere of life. The Ms. Foundation for Women, changing the way the world works.
As a professional trainer, I found that there are five basic learning styles. The computer-based training from Macau works on all five. With Macau Training, you don't just watch a movie or read a manual. You access videos, examples, and exercises as you need them. You can use Macau courses to improve your management skills or to become an expert at your computer software. To find out how to achieve more with Macau Training, call us at 877-752-5329. That's 877-752-5329 or visit MacauCorp.com today. www.MacauCorp.com. Macau creates training that works. It's that simple.
Welcome back to Your Career Doctors on Grapevine Radio. I'm your host, Barbara Jackson. I'm here with our co-host, Lee Miller. Lee, that was really fun to meet Jennifer. And I certainly remember being in her position, don't you?
Oh, boy, so do I, yeah. not easy. Not an easy situation to be in.
It's a tough thing.
That first job.
What was your first job out of law school?
Well, actually, my first job was fairly easy. I kind of took the traditional path out of law school. I joined a large corporate firm in Seattle. You know, frankly, coming out of Harvard Law School, it wasn't difficult.
Did you actually have recruiters that showed up at your school, right?
I mean, used the placement center, interviewed lots of firms, had to pick the firm that I thought would be the best for me. And I really did. What I focused on was training, because that was the most important thing for me in my first job.
What do you mean training?
Make sure I got good skills, that I wasn't buried away in the library the whole time, that I would actually learn to be a lawyer. So I looked for a firm which had a good training program. It actually had a program where they got exposed you to different things. And I also did something that I thought was really quite useful, particularly in hindsight. And I'm actually amazed I thought to do it at the time. I negotiated about who I would report to in my first assignment, picking someone who I'd heard was a really good teacher. And it actually wasn't very hard to do. All I really had to do was ask, and I said, this is who I want to work for. Would that be okay? And they said, yeah. And
wow,
it turned out to be great.
That's great. And was it everything you expected from that job?
Actually, It wasn't, but he was. I mean, he taught me an awful lot. I learned a lot about being a lawyer. He was a litigator. I thought I was going to be Perry Mason. Turned out when I actually got into litigation, that was a lot of paper pushing, and I decided I didn't really like it and actually fell into becoming an employment lawyer, which I loved. And that kind of set the course of my whole career in human resources.
And how long did you stay in that job?
I stayed at the law firm for 4 years. I stayed in litigation for a year, and then I switched into employment.
Yeah, it's fairly similar to my first experience also.
Yeah, well, why don't you tell me about how you got your first job?
Well, my first job out of graduate school was with the Office of Management and Budget in New York City. And, you know, being an old person, that was the time of the great fiscal crisis where they weren't hiring. So getting even an interview was a big deal. And my first interview at OMB, I just hit the jackpot. The guy offered me a job on the spot. I was just delighted. I mean, I will say that he made me a little uncomfortable, but I was just delighted to get the job. And I didn't really sort of think about that. And so when I went to the HR person to report that this fellow had offered me the job, the guy said, "What are you kidding? He doesn't have a job to offer you. He can't offer you a job." And it was sort of really embarrassing for everybody. But as a result of the HR director being really embarrassed and the guy kind of being a jerk, they really went out of their way to find me a job. And I honestly have to say I don't know that I would have gotten a job with the city of New York because of the fiscal crisis had it not been for this really jerky guy in my first interview. But then what happened was I show up for my very first day at work, and I'm all excited, and you know, I've got my new suit on, and the fellow who was the head of this unit that I was working for, doing exactly what I wanted. It was in the community development unit, and I was doing community development. That's what I love doing. And so the boss stands up and he introduces me and he tells a little bit about my background. And, you know, there were many group interviews that the people in my unit had done. And he said, "And as you all know, it was a very difficult decision. It came down between two people, between somebody who was the Betty Crocker star baker and won the bake-off contest and the hockey player. And she was kind of fat and we weren't sure that we wanted to work with her. So we're really glad that we chose that Betty Crocker award-winning person," and everybody clapped. And I sat down and I went to my cubicle and I started to cry because I was the hockey player. I wasn't the Betty Crocker bake-off winner, and I didn't know whether I had to go and divulge, and I didn't know how to bake, and I didn't know if I was supposed to bring cookies the next day. And so somebody walked by my cubicle and I was in tears. And they said, "This is, you know, you've only worked here an hour. It can't be that bad." And I told them the story that I didn't know who this Betty Crocker baker was, and maybe she was that, but I was a hockey player and I was skinny, and did I have to quit now? And they just all laughed, and it sort of became a really famous story in the office. And like you, I decided I didn't like community development.
So, you know, that just goes to show many of the opportunities we get in life are happen by mistakes, and many of the choices we make are mistakes, and frankly, each one brings you further along in your own development in terms of what you want to do and the skills you learn, and then you move on to something that you do love. And I certainly moved into a field, human resources and employment, that I did love after I decided that I wasn't going to be the next Perry Mason.
Yeah, as did I. And if you had said to me when I was in school that I was going to be a police patrol deployment specialist, I would have laughed you out of the room. But it turns out I loved it, and I made a career out of doing it, and I couldn't be gladder.
So what was the most difficult job search you ever engaged in, Barbara?
I think for me the most difficult job search was when Ed Koch was no longer mayor, and so, of course, by that time I was commissioner, and you have to get a new job because when you're a commissioner and your guy isn't mayor anymore, you're done. And I had decided that I wanted to go to California. Some of my friends had moved to California, and so I just...
All that nice sunshine.
Yeah, all that nice sunshine. It was calling to me. And so I got myself a couple of interviews in California and flew back and forth an awful lot, built up a lot of frequent flyer miles. But what I did that was really, I think, for me a smart move was I took a week vacation, and I didn't spend it at the beaches, and I didn't spend it with my friends. I spent it hanging out in office parks and in the shopping centers and shopping malls at lunchtime around those places. And I looked at the kind of people I'd be working with, and I looked at, you know, what they were talking about, and I kind of sat and eavesdropped at the local coffee. There was no Starbucks then, at the local coffee places in California. And I just didn't like it. It really wasn't me. And I thought, you know, if I move 3,500 miles, I have some friends but not a lot of network out here. What do I do? I mean, that's a big change. And the more I thought about it, the more I thought, this is not the move I want to make. And actually, I had been offered a job, and I turned it down. And it was a great job, but I think it really was the wrong relocation.
Well, sometimes that's the most critical decision you can make, is that you don't want to do something.
Yeah.
And spending the time to explore and figure that out really is important.
But
so,
like with Julia, you know, the grocery factor is an important one. And there was, I could have bought a lot of groceries for what they were offering me, but it was just the wrong thing. And I think it's, you know, it's good to try on that suit a little bit when you can.
Yeah, it's always a balance between money and experience. And I tend to push the people who I work with, and certainly my own kids, in their first job to push a little harder. Well, the grocery factor is real, and I certainly didn't want to move them back into my house.
You have to buy groceries, too.
Well, yeah, but, you know, to focus on that experience, because the experience you get in your early career puts you in good stead for the rest of your life.
It does. It really sort of sets the tone. And I think what's important is like Julia, try a couple things, and if they're not right for you, get out. And, you know, you can always find another job. So, Lee, for this week, I'm thinking that maybe the best thing to offer on our website as a tool is your interviewing skills.
I love that program. It's great. It really gives you real-life experience. You watch people actually being interviewed. So, sure, why don't we do that? It regularly sells for $149, but we can offer it to our viewers, our listeners, for, say, $79. Will that work?
I hear $69. Yeah, $79 I think is a great price, and I think we can kind of clear that with Macau. So everyone can go to our website, yourcareerdoctors.com, and all you have to do is click that you want to buy it, put in your Visa card. It's very secure, and you have 100% satisfaction guarantee.
Money-back guarantee if you don't like it.
And I'm hoping that you have a career doctor's prescription for us.
Oh, I most certainly do. And our career doctor prescription this week is, if you're not happy in your current job, or you don't feel like your career is progressing the way you'd hoped it would, it's up to you to do something about it.
Because after all, it's your life, your career, and your choice.
Absolutely.
And you don't want anybody else to take that responsibility away from you. Well, thanks for listening this week. And remember, if you have been somebody who applied to be our career seeker for 2006, we're not going to throw away those files. We're going to keep them. If you want to update them, that's fine, too. We're going to be choosing another career seeker in a couple of months. So don't despair. We'll be here for you. And in the meantime, you'll be able to get a lot of tips from Julia's job search and watch her progress till she's 100% satisfied with her new job. This has been Barbara Jackson and Lee Miller at Grapevine Radio for Your Career Doctors. Thanks for listening. And remember, it's your life, your career, and your choice.